Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL Milan!
We are back after game week 26. Long break until game week 27. What's popping?
Yeah, you know, we had a little UCL action yesterday. It was pretty entertaining, but the long break never goes over well. Makes the weekend shitty upcoming, but you know, we live to fight another day.
I don't know if I need the break or if the break's bad for me, but I guess I'll find out.
I think the break is always bad because it's just less fun in life because they have to play fucking FA Cup shit I don't care about.
Yeah, it's true. I just mean it could be possibly good for me because I'm just having horror show after horror show in FPL, but I'm not sure. So maybe I'll just start this week. I did Raz out to Paul. Seemed great on Saturday. I was like feeling amazing. Wow, I just transferred in a brace. Raz is playing Chelsea. Probably not that much in it. I looked back at my season. There have only been two out of the entire 26 game weeks this season where I haven't had at least one Manchester City attacker, and in many game weeks I had two. Mm-hmm. And in both of those weeks, they scored six goals. It was 6-1 versus Southampton right after I wildcarded when Kun and Raz just exploded, and then 6-0 obviously this weekend when Kun and Raz exploded. You know, I held them both forever and never got anything, but... yeah, I don't know. Just a lot to think about regarding my season as a whole as I'm back down in the 300Ks, lowest rank since game week 15. Just having just a completely horrible, diabolical season. Like, I think Richarlison and Mitro are big culprits of the season. You know, I brought in Rich in game week 19. He got me two goals since then. Brought in Mitro in game week 17. He got me three goals since then. Sort of lesson learned there. Sometimes just take the fucking hit and get rid of your really bad players because they just held me back. They just blank every single week. But I think my biggest lesson learned in my rant about my team right now is just it's a small sample size, so I'm not sure that this is like a valuable lesson or not. But twice this season at different points, I made myself a little like 4 to 6 game week plan of transfers. You know, like I talked about it on pod, like I wasn't doing it by hand and I felt really confident, blah blah blah. You know, I'll bring in this guy, and then I should have enough money for this other guy, and I'll captain this guy, blah blah blah. Whatever it is, I use those plans to like think ahead, make sure the guys I want in the coming weeks all fit into my team. And if they don't fit in my team, figure out a way to get them, etc. Both times, I ended up going away from my plan. I had this plan. I didn't do it. Both times, ended up on Friday or before the deadline, whatever, I do some fucking thing that seems better. Both times, I've gotten severely punished from going away from my plan. So whether this is just a thing for me or it's a lesson learned for everyone, I mean... for me, I think when I make these plans, I'm kind of taking a step back. I see the obvious moves, the obvious lines, which is in general how you do well in FPL. You make the obvious moves, get the obvious good guys. And if you overthink everything and make rash decisions and go away from your plans and tinker and blah, 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 you end up with my season, which is a complete disaster. Very embarrassing, horrible season. So at least I'm trying to learn from my mistakes, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm just depleted at this point.
That was a deep dive. I don't have the same insight to offer with my season today, but
I got from looking at my team and looking at my score and just like trying to figure out what the fuck went wrong.
Yeah, I mean, planning's always good. Keeping the medium term in mind when you're looking at transfers in your team and, you know, not tinkering or transferring out good players for other good players, just like chasing points, but more looking at the problem spots on your team and addressing that instead.
Yeah, exactly. Like some people, like, you know, in Slack, even some people were like, oh, you got unlucky. Like, they scored 6 goals against Chelsea. Of course, there's a little bit of luck or unluckiness involved in FPL. But in general, I got rid of the best attack England's ever seen, and I got punished. Like, it's not pure luck. It sucks for me that Chelsea happened to just lay down and just take it in their ass this exact week. But that happens. And, you know, Raz is the best attacker on the best attack. So, you know, like, I deserve my rank, I think. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, my plan, for those who don't remember last pod, was Richarlison and Mitrovic out for Pogba and either Rondon or Barnes, and that means keeping Raz. So it's like a fucking 40-point swing or something like that. I would have been flying this week, and instead I'm not. So really hurts.
Well, you learn from it. Turn the page, and we'll see how you do this week.
Yeah, exactly. So how'd you do?
At least you don't have Patricio.
Oh my god. This week is just full of goalkeeper howlers. It's just a reminder of, like, oh yeah, this is why none of these guys are on big teams or whatever.
Yeah, it's. I had a fine week. I finished on 74, and I had a medium sized green arrow back into the top 100K after my nightmare double game week.
Yeah.
But I had 0 returns outside of my midfield, which was not ideal. Although I have all my money in midfield.
Is insanely good.
Yeah, I mean, my midfield is basically where everyone's trying to be. I have Mo, Son, Raz, Pogba, and Mane. I ended up doing Sané to Son instead of doing the Aubameyang move.
Can you imagine if you did the Raz hit for Obs?
No, we may not be potting. Yeah, I would be on strict suicide watch. My wife would have had to take every day off to watch me.
Yeah, exactly.
And basically what happened there was, after Sané midweek, after we potted, when he played fucking like 13 minutes, I don't give a shit. He just seemed like such a ridiculously huge problem, because Pep's clearly rotating the attack position-wise and personnel-wise, and, you know, he didn't play Sané in the Arsenal game, and going against going against Chelsea, I was very worried about the same thing. Also, just doesn't seem good value for money, full stop, when he's maybe not first choice 11. So, you know, it let me keep Raz, who we all know is in the first choice team, and that ended up working out really well. So that was a good job by me.
And it was sort of good timing for the Obs sickness. I don't know if that played in your transfer at all, but he was yellow flagged all week and in or not in training, and it was all very questionable. So
it really didn't. I was completely stunned to see him not in the team. You know, usually when the player has an illness sometime, like around 3 days before a game, it doesn't usually keep them out. And
especially if they train. It was very surprising.
Yeah. I mean, the training news was very sketch, and everyone with a computer and a Twitter account had their in-the-know views of what happened, analyzing photographs. Like,
I really need
happening?
To make this fake in-the-know account. It's the one thing keeping me alive this FPL season, is the thought of having a fake in-the-know account.
Yeah. But it was really came down to Sané. Like, Sané just felt like if I didn't get rid of Sané, it was just another transfer waiting to happen. Yeah. And it's kind of like planning. Like, I thought Aubameyang was the best captain pick against Huddersfield this week. I obviously didn't play. It didn't work. But that would have also kind of been a short-term play. And I have a lot of issues with my defense, and I know I need to address that. So getting Sané out for Son, just and keeping Sterling, I can very comfortably hold him through the blank. I only have one blanker right now. So just kind of shored me up in the medium term and let me put transfers again on kind of pressure points and problematic spots, instead of doing like kind of in and outs, yo-yoing Raz and Obs or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you just don't have enough transfers to do that stuff.
Yeah, so that was that. The other thing that was, I mean, obviously I got a green arrow, so I had a fine week and I can look on. But going into fucking Monday, I had 5 players on Monday. I had Patricio, Bennett, Lascelles, Jimenez, and Rondon.
Yeah, I had 4.
And I had a green arrow before the game started on Monday. And I was just looking at my team like, okay, like, can I one fucking time have this go favorably for me. And it, like, I had a share in both team defenses and the strikers on both teams. So, you know, I'm thinking like a clean is fine. A goal is fine. Like, I'm going to get some
clean
points.
Either way is fine. A goal either way is probably fine. Should you have the fine. Highest goal involvement player on both teams.
And it's just like 9 points from 5. I'm like, oh my God. I think this is like the third or fourth Monday game where I've been in the situation where I've already had a green arrow going into like good players that are a lot of people don't have, or a lot more shares, or just like, I'm in a really good position to have like a big week, and it just falls so flat.
Both had this many times this season. Well, with the Monday matches, definitely. I mean, that it's like a joke on Slack now that like Monday night football is always just a nightmare. But also you and I, and we talked about this, I feel like a month or two ago, but there's been so many weeks where we captain one guy, maybe it's Mo or like, you know, some slight differential a month or two ago, and everyone else is captaining another guy who gets like one assist and bones. And we're just like, okay, if Mo fucking braces this week, we're absolutely flying. It just never came through.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, obviously I have 5 players from Wolves and Newcastle.
Yeah.
So that's the other side of the coin. Like, what am I expecting? But right. You know, they're facing each other. So it was a tough one. So that was a rough end to the game week, especially having to look at my team for fucking 2 weeks, but you know, I mean, my team's in good shape. I'm probably going to save. We'll get there.
Yeah, your team's great.
Yeah, but, you know, Patricio's really been the biggest thorn in my side. It's kind of like, you know, you're talking about, you know, Mitrovic and Richarlison, just you players that you don't want, and you just
kind
of ignore.
They're objectively bad. Yeah.
Yeah, they're objectively awful picks. And
like
it's, you know,
like if anyone wild, like, sent you a wild card team, they, like, DM you on Slack a wild card team, they had any one of Patricio, Mitrovic, or Richarlison, it would just be like the first words out of my mouth would be, what the fuck is this guy doing in your team?
Yeah. And like with Patricio, I've just had him for a long time, and I've gotten 1 or 2 cleans out of him. And I mean, he must be averaging about 2.2 points per game in my team. And that's been really rough. So,
I mean, yeah, Wolves have had 4 cleans in the first 8 game weeks, and then they've had 2 cleans game week 9 through 26.
It's just shocking. And again, that we've talked about Wolves defense, you know, they don't often get battered, and they're giving up at most 2 goals a game, which is like good underlying XG numbers, but they have so many individual mistakes. Like, we see time and time again that the goals they concede are just down to like Boley fucking falling or being an oaf and doing something dumb, or Patricio having a howler, or Bennett getting pulled out of position, or 4 defenders chasing 1 guy in the box as he slots. And it's just uncanny.
Yeah, and
the goals that they concede.
I don't really know how this number is calculated, but on the FFS stats, the defensive errors, Arsenal and Fulham are tied for first at 20, then Leicester is 17, and then Manchester United and Wolves are tied for third on 16. Like, it tells you what you need to know.
And it's also just an interesting point to just look at. I mean, you know, we kind of, when we started touting Wolves' defense months ago, it was looking at a very long run of just good fixtures. I mean, against relatively poor sides for a long run. So the difference, though, is looking at a team like Palace, where, you know, we shut it down. I mean, we don't have individual errors really anywhere. We block a lot of shots, and we play like a little more defensively minded, and they're similarly priced to Wolves. And, you know, they had their own goalkeeping. We have had our own goalkeeping issues with Wayne got injured, then Guaita got injured, Wayne got dropped. You know, I had Wayne a while ago before he got dropped and stuff like that. So, but I mean, that's kind of something I want to also take away. I mean, just because they're like a mid-table side with good fixtures, like, I don't want to fall into that trap, which is sort of what I'm worried about with Leicester, that that's going to just happen again, because I think that they're also just a bad defense in general. And so I need to sort Patricio out very, very badly.
I remember on the Fireside chat talking about this with Kaylee and talking about like defenses, and he was saying Wolves are like, you know, whatever it is, top 5 defense or whatever the number was, maybe top 3 defense at that point in the season. And it's interesting because all of the underlying defensive stats, you know, just the basic ones like shots conceded, all that shit, and XG ones, they're still up there. And they're obviously a good defense. Like you said, they never get battered. They don't allow a lot of shots. They don't allow a lot of goals in general. But there's a huge difference between that. We need some other FPL stats person to like correlate that and clean sheets, because they seem like they don't correlate that much, because the teams that like Palace or like Newcastle or, you know, old Burnley, not really this season Burnley, like you need like a negative mindset to keep cleans. You know what I mean? You need to like never lose your shape, even if you're chasing a game, never lose your shape. Where Wolves play like sort of free and sort of like entertaining to watch and like risky passes out of the back and stuff like that, which is good football, but negative for clean sheets, which is what we care about. We don't care about how many, you know, if they concede one goal per game, that's okay, but that's bad for us. It's interesting.
I mean, I think, honestly, I've never really thought about it, but hearing you say that and then also hearing you cite the top teams for defensive errors are a really big part, it sounds like to me, because
yeah,
when you have these individual nightmares, like when you look at Spurs last year, for example, and their inability to keep clean sheets, Davinson Sanchez has a red card or just a fucking insane missed tackle and that someone's in clean every game. Trippier doesn't know how to play defense. Like you have these players that just can fucking do some dumb shit once and then that's your clean sheet gone. Yeah. And you know, that's something I'm going to pay a little bit more attention to than just the fixtures, is like you're saying, shape, you know, a negative team like a Cardiff or a Palace to an extent, you know, they keep shape and that's their focus and that's how they're trying to win, is 1-0, and they're very happy to 0-0 games. So, you know, it's just something to think about with the budget defense price players in FPL. You know, like the teams like City and, you know, Liverpool, they have just, City's a little bit like Liverpool, they just have great players across the back four. So, you know, those individual errors just don't happen. So the other team has to really set up something well. Like it has to be completely on their, like they have to do it. They're not going to get any leeway from the defense to help you out. So that's a thing. And it's, you know, it's a little bit of a titty tit for me, but let's go. That was a big, I don't even know what that was.
That was our teams. Yeah. It was a big, our team section, but, shout out to FML Field Prize League/Mug League leader for February so far. It's just Fred. No fucking team name. Just straight up on the rocks. Fred, who are you? Are you even a patron? I have no idea. If you win, contact us because we don't know who you are. But whatever, he's flying. And then shout out to the Goal Scorers Challenge League leader so far. Still Magic Mike. 2-goal lead at the top. Moving on. I don't know, you and I kind of talked about this just before we started, but there were very few surprises this week other than City. So it seems like a logical place to start with City, even though they blanked this week. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I mean, we had the 3-0 from United, 3-0 from Liverpool against bad teams. We were kind of expecting that. The biggest surprise was probably the 1-3 Brighton-Burnley game, but yeah. From an FPL search segment, like, not a lot of talking points. Yeah, City, you know, it's kind of silly to talk about them when they're blanking and people, like, you know, need to remove their assets more or less. But other than Sterling and Aguero, and you know, maybe an Ederson or a Laporte, because they've got some good fixtures and they look like they're back to their normal selves, there's not a ton to really talk about. I mean, what do you see there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess regarding Raz and Kun, it's obviously a huge chunk of your budget. Going forward, and Ray on Slack said game week 28 and on, is it Raz, is it Kun, or is it Raz and Kun? I don't think neither is an option at this point.
No,
They've shown too much.
Yeah, if you go without both Sterling and Aguero, if you're like, ooh, this is a differential, that's not going to work out. I mean, they have home West Ham, home Watford at Bournemouth.
The fixtures don't matter. We just saw home Chelsea 6-0. Like, this team is on another universe than every other attack in the league. So
yeah,
the fixtures are good or the fixtures are bad, and you're still just putting yourself in a hole if you don't have them, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. They just put 9 goals in against Arsenal and Chelsea in those 2 games combined. So, you know, just saying it, just to re-emphasize how badly you could get buried if you don't own one of the players. I do think that both is not bad. I mean, it can't be bad. It's just great. Jesus is clearly not ready to play consistently, and their worst performances in general are with him and the team and not Aguero. Aguero looks like, you know, he's just firing on all cylinders, a couple hats, and I think it's more or less like if you can hold one through the blank, that's good. If, you know, if you're one or a hit away from getting both, that's good. It's just kind of what you see in your team as like biggest issue or something like that. I mean, I'm happy with Sterling. I'm not sure if I'm going to go for Aguero just because, you know, removing a really good midfielder to get him in, I'm not sure how, if that's going to really get me that far, but we'll talk about it later. But what are you thinking for your team?
I mean, if I only followed my original plan, I'd be in much better shape. I would have Sterling already and just hold him through the blank just as you are, and I would feel relatively okay. I still have Obbs, so, you know, if this Chelsea slide continues to happen, my original plan was Obbs to Higuain in like game week 29-ish. But if this Chelsea look like this fucking dog shit version of Chelsea and like sack sorry or something, they're just a nightmare meltdown like we've seen before, then obviously I wouldn't get Higuain and I'd probably just go Obbs to Kun. So I was positioned to probably have one to two of them before I made this move. And now I'm on the outside looking in. I kind of have to, honestly, kind of have to just like make a new plan or start thinking about maybe wildcarding after the blank, which I don't think is necessarily a bad time. After, you know, FA Cup this weekend, we'll have an idea of the future blanks and doubles. So it might be a decent time to wildcard because I'll have all the information.
Yeah. Well, firstly, 2 things I wanted, but yeah, if you have Aubameyang going straight to Aguero in anyone's team is a fairly obvious transfer. I don't really care that Arsenal have a good fixture after the blank. They're just not really in the same caliber to me. But yeah, getting the information, and we'll do another pod next week after we know the FA Cup, and then we should hopefully have a clearer picture of who's blanking when the doubles are and things like that. Yeah. You know, that's got to factor in a lot as well, you know.
Yeah, it's just the thing with Obbs that's obviously frustrating. I mean, I'm not the only one with Obbs, and a lot of people captained him this week. It's just like that match went relatively as expected. Like Arsenal just cruised to a 2-0 lead, then, you know, whatever, Kolasinac own goal, they suck at defending. But you have to imagine, like, if Obbs was in there for fucking Mkhitaryan, like, that's 3 or 4, and Obbs is probably on a double return. Like, I don't really think that's a stretch at all, you know? So that's the frustrating part. And this is why I felt good about holding on to him, is matches like Huddersfield and then this week home Southampton and next week home Bournemouth. It's ridiculous. But yeah, unless they really put in like 4 and he double returns against Southampton or something, then yeah, I think I'm pretty much there with you. It's just Kun is just so much better. I guess the only thing to think about is possibly if his minutes are more managed because of Champions League, but I don't really think that's a factor. I don't know. What do you think about that?
You're never going to be completely like, holy fuck, I can't believe Jesus is starting for Kun because of Pep. But at the same time, when he's just hatting like this and the form he's on, I mean, he should have had 4. He missed that sitter, which was insane at the beginning of the game.
But, and it's a title race, too. It's
when he's on this kind of form, I think, you know, he's going to, unless if they really have, you know, 3 games in a week where the physios in the back room are worried about him maybe picking up an injury if he's, like, got a little soreness somewhere, you know, that's the kind of thing I think it would take for him to not feature. I mean, we're at the dog's end of the season. We have 10 games left, and, you know, they need to realistically pick up, like, 27 points maybe from those 10. I mean, the race is that tight, and, you know, Liverpool are on form, back on form as well after the Bournemouth. So I'm not worried about that. I'm just not worried about that. But, yeah, like you said, just, I mean, and all the people, the poor folks that did Kun to Aubameyang, like, home, let me transfer out my Chelsea guy to someone playing Huddersfield, like, obvious, and Caplet, you know, that's such a logical line, and then the blank, and then it's just like, what? You got 0, and then he had. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah, just, I know, like,
what do you do?
Like, Gav on Slack did that exact move. A lot of people did that exact move.
A lot of people did that.
you just have to, as impossible it is, you just have to not results-based thinking that. I mean, the only lesson from that, I guess, is like maybe if someone is yellow flagged and you're transferring out someone as good as Kuhn in such good form, then maybe that's stupid in hindsight. But honestly, there's nothing you could do about that. That's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, I feel similarly. I transferred out Sterling, who's also really good against Chelsea, and for Paul against Fulham. Paul obviously came through, so it's not the same. But for Raz to triple return and me to actually net negative on that transfer after a Paul brace is, like, staggering. Like, how did that happen? But
yeah.
One other City thing that JFlo wrote in from Slack. He said, what lesson, if any, is there to the double Kuhn hat trick? Looking back without hindsight, I don't see any reason to have brought him in. Were there any indicators we should have seen that Kuhn was about to go crazy? Like, did we actually learn anything from this, or is it just like sort of luck?
I mean, it's Kuhn's still Kuhn, and you know we know what he's capable of when he's feeling the vibes.
Yeah,
and it just came in at that time, and it just coincided for FPL with the on the double game week, and obviously it blanked the second game, but the first game, it's just one of those things. You switch on a dime. Form just comes and goes, and he's just banged 6 and 3, and he's capable of that. Everyone knows that. But in terms of lessons learned, I still don't subscribe to City double game week with the roulette that you should just all out, like take a -8 to get 3 attackers or something like that. Just don't usually like that, especially with a blank coming. I think the blank so near the double game week also was a big factor. A lot of people, if you're taking hits to bring the players in and say you still have Richarlison or you still have Dean, and then you're looking at hits on the back end to field 11 during the blank, it's tough. It's a lot of transfers. So if you spike a fucking 19-point captain, then you can easily stomach 8 points back to the field. But, it could have gone the other way. You just don't know that kind of thing. It's just the game we play. You got to, it's just part of the game. One thing before we leave City I do want to mention is that, Bernardo Silva's is 7-5. I'm seeing a lot of people kind of shopping in that bracket. Obviously, you're not bringing in a player who's blanking right now, but he's looked really good the last couple games. They have been building up a lot on the left, and he's playing on the right, but against Arsenal and Chelsea, those two games. And I know that we've kind of talked about him on and off throughout the season, and I think I'm a little higher on him than you are, but even though it does feel very coveragey type of a pick, I'm not in love with any options in midfield below Son's price at all.
Yeah, that's actually, it's great that you went there because that is where I wanted to go next, because we got 2 questions in about quote unquote fourth mid. And so John Astry on Slack wrote in, we used to have a plethora of mid-price mid options, Felipe, Rich, Siggy, Martial, etc. Have those all dried up? Is there anything we like in that bracket anymore? And Hayden on Slack said, pick one as a fourth mid, Felipe, Rich, or Matto. And it's just of these guys are just what the fuck happened?
I mean, Rich should be 0% considered for a spot on your team. We need to remove him from the conversation.
Yes.
But I think Felipe, they've got a decent run.
And yeah, they
maybe
have a really
good Arnie,
run.
Yeah. With Arnie back, he's a bat machine. He could be a reasonable short-term pick. If you need to do it this week, I would probably tip Felipe. I mean, 7-2 is not too expensive. That would probably be my option there. But, again, I feel like Bilv, even though you're going to be a little roulette-y there, if he's going to play, a midfield of fucking, he keeps playing Gundo. Gundo has played better lately, but I fucking hate him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he could play like Kev, Dilv, and Gundo, but we know how much Pep loves Bernardo. So, if you
Bernardo is he should be up there for their player of the season. He's not going to be because he doesn't get the goals and the assists, but
the consistency.
Yeah, just imagine if they didn't have him with how their season went with Kev injury, then a Dilv injury, then a Dino injury. He's been their one staple player. Without him, they would have crumbled, I feel like.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that. But I mean, and Bernardo, I like Bernardo a lot. So yeah. I think he's decent value for his price. Obviously, he's not blowing the doors down with his returns on the season so far, but I think he's reasonable. And then, we talk about Jota here and there, but I'm just a little unsure if that ship has sailed. I mean, they still have 3 good fixtures, but then you don't want any part of Wolves after that, probably. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's really where I'd want to go.
Yeah, I still like Jota. I still feel okay with him. I feel like he's been so integral to their, like, offensive boom that he's not really, you know, looking to be dropped or anything with the good fixtures. But, a lot of these options have dried up. I mean, any player on Everton is a no-go, as far as I'm concerned.
I 100% agree.
They're completely horrible. I think one guy that's under the radar, and he has been all season, is Awobes. I mean, I've always loved him, and his minutes are very inconsistent. But, you know, I mean, the time to get him would have been last week with Huddersfield, but they do still have home Southampton, home Bournemouth. You'd imagine he'll play, like, I don't know, 120 minutes over those two or something like that, and he's just really, really good. He's really turned a corner this season, and you could do a lot worse than him, probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 5'4". I've seen some people talking about Barnes a little bit for Leicester. I really don't like that pick. I just don't have any faith in Puel to play his good players. He's just doesn't seem like he has a clue. And even though the fixtures are good, you know, I just don't feel secure that he's going to keep featuring.
The fixtures being good, is that good for Leicester? Because they've kind of thrived when the fixtures are bad. They're such a fucking weird team. It's so hard to rely on any of their players, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Albrighton injury is good for Barnes's potential. And
I mean, I like him. I think he's good and has a lot of potential, and he's young and exciting. But yeah, I kind of feel similarly to you.
It wouldn't be surprising this. Okay, I mean, he doesn't play Vardy in the most Vardy game of life. Ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That was absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
And then, like, it wouldn't be surprising if he plays like a 4-4-2 with fucking Pereira at wing, like Matto, like Gray at wing, and like Iheanacho and Vardy up top against
Okazaki.
It's just, he's such a fucking idiot, and I don't know what lineup or personnel he sees in training and he's going to put out there to give himself the best chance to win against these bad teams. So I would say we're in there. But yeah, I like the Iwobi shout. Okay. I mean, 5'4", you're going to get what you pay for. But you know, I agree. He's looked very bright, recently. So he could end the season strongly.
Yeah, it's few and far between in this bracket. I think last guy that I would probably bring up is Grob. We were all kind of looking at him, but threw that idea away with the blank, as it should be. I mean, obviously you're not bringing him in this week, but they have a really, really good run up until game week 37, where they're away Arsenal and then home City on the last day of the season. But until then, I mean, assuming he has his starting role back, which it seems like he sort of does, we know what he can do in FPL. I mean, he did it all season last season. Absolute bonus machine, chance creation machine, pens, and then he gets Max Bones. Like, he could tick for the rest of the season pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty well.
I totally forgot about him because I generally don't look at Brighton. I don't think I've been the Brighton all season. Yeah, the blank's big. But yeah, I mean, they have home Huddersfield, home Cardiff, home Southampton, home Bournemouth in the next like eight, alternating with aways.
Ridiculous.
And you know, they're usually good at the Amex. So yeah, that I love that pick. That's a good shout. 6-7. He's definitely a good pick in that bracket.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else we want to specifically focus in on, or should I just do some questions? It's kind of a weird week because, like we said, there's not really surprises, and we're all kind of waiting for the like double game week news of after the FA Cup. So I don't know.
Yeah, we're just kind of waiting for that info.
I
think, well, one thing I definitely want to touch on is Trent coming off the bench was big.
Oh yeah,
he's still only 5'2", so I've still seen teams that have been holding him throughout all this time, which has probably been rough. But I mean, that's just the value route, and he's been so good this season when he's been fit. So that's definitely someone to keep an eye on after the United game. If you have a Liverpool spot, or if you need to free money up, maybe doing like Van Dijk to Trent, something to definitely keep in mind. I also do want to just highlight how absolutely shocking Spurs were against Leicester.
They
got just bossed and destroyed. As per story of the season, they squeaked out and pulled out a result. The 3-1 scoreline was ridiculously flattering. They should have probably lost that game 3-1.
Yeah.
You know, they had the stoppage time goal when Leicester just threw everyone forward, the Sun goal, which was obviously huge for me, FPL. But I think Spurs, other than Sun, who just continues to defy all logic and just return every game, very, very strong stay away. And they just don't look good.
Yeah, although one thing with Spurs is that Kane is going to come back soon. And we know what that does to the attack. It makes the whole team better. It makes all the midfielders better. It makes Son better. Eriksen, Ali, all better. Like, I agree with you, but I think that it's the type of thing that, like, 2 game weeks from now, we could be singing a different song. Because it's like, all of a sudden, they're really good, and they have all their guys back or something, you know?
Yeah, that's possible. So, that's possible. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Hazel Rocket on Slack. Newcastle and Leicester deep defenders. Who's the pick over the next 5 game weeks?
I mean, I definitely like Newcastle more. I just, as mentioned before with Leicester, I do feel it's a little trappy, kind of what happened with Wolves. It's just a defense and a team I don't trust very much. And whereas with Rafa and Newcastle, excuse me, they, you know, they let up the Dubravka Howler goal against Wolves at Wolves, which is, you know, that's a pretty decent performance to go there the way they've been playing and only let one up. And
yeah, and usually, you know, that's called a foul anyway. Like, that's usually probably a clean.
Yeah, so when you're shaping up pound for pound, which team would I want more? I would definitely say Newcastle. Within that, I like Lascelles. I got Lascelles, so obviously that tells you where my head was. Lejeune outbaps him, like, from a baseline perspective generally, but I like having that little shout at a goal or even an assist. Lascelles is usually 1A and 1B with kind of Big Sal when they're doing set pieces, indirect set pieces. And, you know, that's obviously a way that Rafa really relies on getting goals, and, you know, they work on it, and they're always really good set piece team. Rafa teams are. So I like that. I mean, Shar's returns are coming in, but at the same price as Lascelles. The back three does look like it's here to stay, but I just like the security with Lascelles there. I mean, he'd be my pick for Newcastle. What do you think?
Well, Shar is really interesting because he's clearly the one with the license to go forward. Like, he's just in the box sometimes. He just, like, pops up, and his assist versus Wolves is case in point. He was just the most attacking player other than Hayden. It was so bizarre, and he plays a perfect through ball to Hayden, who finishes right through, you know, Rui's body, whatever. But the other side of the coin with Shar is he hasn't started since game week 12, and he has 8 yellow cards since game week 12, or game week 11, rather. And it's just, that's fucking crazy. He gets a yellow every single game, which makes him probably not worth it, in my opinion. I went Lejeune.
Other thing with that, sorry to cut you off, is just, you know, when he hits that 10 and he has a 2 ban, like, that's when you need to start this player that you're bringing in.
Exactly.
So that's a good point. I didn't notice that with Sharm.
Yeah, I think, like, Sharms was bringing that up, and it was just like, what the fuck? How does he have 8 yellows? But, yeah, I like Lejeune. I liked him a lot last year. I don't really prefer one over the other. I just like Lejeune. He's a little cheaper. Jamal is obviously the captain, so if they maybe stray from the three at the back, Jamal would be the safest out of all of them, so maybe that's a reason to go for him. And yeah, he offers a little bit more of a threat, but I honestly think they're pretty much, like, both equal. Like, with three at the back, it doesn't seem like we're used to teams playing more 4 at the back, and it's kind of one center back is traditionally the bonus guy over the other one, just because of, like, the balance of 4 at the back teams. It's kind of like one aggressively goes for all of the balls, and that guy's usually on bones because he gets more, like, tackles and clearances and headers and stuff, and the other center back is more, like, covering and sideline to sideline. But with three at the back, I feel like it's all out the window. It's just like, this game, this guy cleared everything, and the next game, the other guy cleared everything. Like, I don't feel like reliably, like Lejeune was awful on bonus against Wolves. Like, he was nowhere near, even after Lascelles and Char both picked up yellows, Lejeune was way below them on bonus, like, but even before the clean was wiped. So I don't know. It's a toss up. It's totally a toss up. They're all good, though.
Yeah, I agree, except for Shar.
Yeah, Shar.
And then going over to Leicester, I mean, Chilwell, Pereira, Maguire, 5-5-3, 5-4. It's just, what do you say? I mean, Pereira and Chilwell both get forward. Maguire obviously has the goals in him with the slab head on set pieces. If you want to take a shot with a Leicester defender and start them through these good fixtures, hope to hit some cleans, I don't know how the fuck you pick it between the three of them. I guess I would just go Chilwell because he's the cheapest.
Could you go Evans?
I have no, again, with Puel.
He's just started the last three and.
I know, but yeah. He's been playing Wes Morgan for five months. Yeah, and I just don't know. Like, maybe Wes Morgan comes to training with like Jamaican jerk chicken and Puel's like, ooh, good camaraderie. And he starts him. Like, I don't know. That's not a completely insane thing to me.
Yeah, that's not.
It's so insane that that Evans has not been nailed to fuck when he's been fit this season. They're in a different class of defender. I mean, he's better than Maguire at defending. That's not even close. And let alone Morgan, who can barely even move anymore. So, I mean,
it's also weird, I think, Pereira's attacking returns, I feel like, sort of speak for themselves. I mean, he can really cross the ball. Like, he creates actual really good chances for them all the time. So I'd probably go there, but just on a Chilwell, just rant and just footy in general, like, to me, he's so much better than all of their defenders. Like, he's actually quality, and like, he's probably gonna get bought because of it, and he's fucking amazing. And they don't really build on the left for some reason. Like, he's not, he should be getting as many, he should be creating as many chances as Pereira and getting in there. He's so good on the ball and everything, but I don't know, for some reason he doesn't.
And unlike Pereira, Chilwell actually can play defense.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's a huge thing.
But no, like you're saying, I mean, Pereira's got 8 returns on the season, which is fucking bonkers.
Yeah, it's like, even when he's not playing winger, he still just like creates really good chances, really good at crossing and cutting back. So
yeah, I mean, he got the assist in the Spurs game. And, yeah. I mean, yeah, you do have to, I guess, somewhat take some of those returns with a grain of salt, because they did come when he was playing wing. And
yeah.
Who knows if he's going to play wing against bad teams, but yeah. I mean, I really don't feel too much feels about any three of these guys. I don't know.
God, there's going to be like half of our Slack is going to get Leicester guys and half of them aren't, and it's just going to feel so good or bad whenever they come through or don't come through. You know, it's just,
yeah.
I have absolutely no idea if they're going to get like one clean in 10 or 5 and just like be good. It's completely impossible to figure out.
I agree with that.
All right. Fat Gorilla Brian Slack, at what point in the season /rank would you start taking unlimited hits to try and make some gains and just have fun because top 50K is dead?
It's a game. If you're just miserable and still playing it safe and you're like, just don't care, then just do what you want to do to have fun. Like, if you want to take some punts and triple Leicester defense and get all these guys,
like the good old days of triple Leicester defense. Oh my God. God,
that brings me back to when I was actually good and knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my answer, long and short. I don't know. You have anything else to say about that?
I mean, we learned this lesson. You and I learned this lesson a while ago, and it doesn't apply to everyone, but I think it definitely applies to us, and it may apply to you too, Brian, is that it sounds really fun to take crazy hits and like captain fucking weird guys and like triple captain on a stupid single game week and shit, but what's actually fun is getting green arrows. That's my experience, because the bad things and hits and captains and stupid shit usually don't come through. That's why they're fucking stupid and no one else does them. You know, it's obviously great when like Nathan Redmond braces and you fucking brought him in for a double game week. Like, I've lived those lives, but it's way more fun to just like transfer in Pogba, who gets a brace, and just be like, okay, cool, now I have the best guy that everyone else has, and like, I'm getting green arrows. And like, also from personal experience, is like, top 50k is not out of the question at all. I don't fucking care how bad your rank is. It's probably not much worse than mine, and I'm always finishing in that area, and I'm always around where I am now, and like the 300 ish like the end of the season is where the most active and competitive players make the most gains. That's how it's always been. So I don't think you're out of it. If I'm not depressed, you have no reason to be depressed. I'm publicly humiliated every week. So, you know, just that's my advice, at least. I don't know. Wolfie on Slack, which teams jump out at you for great/terrible fixtures, and are there any mid-table beach merchants who have enough points to stay away from?
I think it's a little too early for beach merchants.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, Everton aren't beach merchants. They're just bad, even though they do qualify kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing with Leicester.
And there's a lot of teams that are safe. Like yeah, Wolves, Watford, safe. Everton, West Ham, Bournemouth, Leicester are all safe. Probably even Palace, but none of them, I don't think, are on the beach yet.
Yeah, not yet. There's still too many. There's too much to play. Too many games to play. But I don't know. I mean, we're touching on some of the teams with good fixture, like Newcastle, Leicester just mentioned. I think it also really depends on, like, what are you talking about? Are you talking about a punty midfielder for, you need a striker or a defense? Like, I mean, I think that, like Cardiff have still a pretty good run right now for clean sheets. Palace defense still looks good. And with Batshuayi, like Zaha started to kind of click in. Like there's options on Palace, I think, for you. Watford seems like they're a mess. I would probably stay completely away from Watford. And then even like Burnley,
I was going to say Burnley. Yep.
Yeah, we'll go on with Burnley.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just... sometimes stats tell a lie and sometimes stats tell the truth, and their attacking stats have been extremely good, like top four or five in the league for like 2 months. And Barnes has been at the head of that, and Wood is a solid player, and like McNeil is a good bench guy. And it came to fruition this week. They completely decimated Brighton. And I think that for the price, they're just all being ignored because I think of them as Burnley, and everyone thinks of them as Burnley, but they've kind of turned a corner and they're a different team. And it was interesting. I was listening on Totally Football. I don't remember which one of the guys, but someone was saying like, oh yeah, it was surprising 3-1. Like I expected this to be a 0-0. And it's like, if you expected that to be a 0-0, you haven't been paying attention for 2 months, because Brighton can't defend anything. They don't keep clean sheets. That's not like a thing. And Burnley also don't keep clean sheets and have been attacking out of control for a long time now. So like, I just heard that comment and just thought it was like so stupid and just ignorant, because you're thinking of Burnley of years past and you're not like readjusting how they've actually been playing for a significant part of this season. So yeah, I think Burnley are good guys to maybe get as like a third forward or something like that. And then the other one that was on the tip of my tongue is Bournemouth. I mean, right now they still have Wolves, Arsenal, City, but from game week 30 on, they have another incredible run of fixtures, sort of like the one that they had at the beginning of the season. And if they get their good guys fit, like Callum and et cetera, then it could be the type of run where we're all on like Fraser and Callum again for the last like 8 game weeks of the season. So that's one I'm keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and even Brooks, we don't know how long he'll be out. With, yeah. I mean, it's still early in his recovery, but yeah, he's an option. Yeah, I like that. And then I mean, with Brighton, like we talked about Gross earlier.
Yeah.
One thing on Burnley though, I do want to note is that Tom Heaton is just back to being Tom. He's been Tomming so hard.
My Tom rant? How good was my Tom rant?
Oh, it was so good.
Like I'm not fucking dumb. I'm just dumb and bad at managing my own team. But yeah, the Tom is so good.
Tom in that Brighton game was just fucking stupid. Like it was like a robot, like an AI robot, like automatically going to the exact spot of where the ball's going to be hit or something. Yeah. I am very, very interested in getting rid of Patricio, and Tom is definitely in there with Dubravka for me looking at replacements, just because I take your point about Burnley attacking a lot, but they get back into shape so fast and they still are blocking everything. So
yeah, I mean, that's their style, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But like
Burnley riding Burnley until game week 34 or until game week 35 is just great on both ends, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's with Tom too. The thing with this game is like, I mean, they got the brace or whatever, but every clean sheet is worth somewhere between 5 and 7 points for Tom, because the he's just such a bonus machine, because he always makes a lot of saves because they're fucking bad and they let up a billion shots.
Yeah,
but I mean, Tom is. Getting Tom would just make me happy. Like getting Dubravka, I would just be like, I hope you don't fucking howl your life away on fucking minute 99 again. Yeah, like kill me.
Seriously. Yeah, so, Tom is fantastic.
Yeah, Tom's so good. And he's only 4'8". I feel like he's
easily England's best goalkeeper. I mean, it's shots fired, but I don't think it's
shots fired. I think that's just objective fact. The only issue is he doesn't know how to fucking play the ball at all. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, Pickford. It's more comical watching Pickford play all season at Everton, like thinking that he was their World Cup number one.
Yeah, and he was great in the World Cup too, is the crazy part.
Yeah, I don't, it's just.
He was fucking great.
I know. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, the players in front of him obviously have a big difference, but like,
well, Marco Silva is just.
But he individually is just.
Yeah, no.
Always making the wrong decision. Like, he doesn't come out for when he should come out. He just, like, is rooted to his spot. Like, it's just, he's always howling his life away. He kicks it out of bounds now.
Yeah.
He just kicks at least one goal kick a game. He just straight kicks it out of bounds.
Yeah, I know. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. All right. What else? We should probably wrap. I don't even know what's going on today.
Dude, let's do like three more questions. And we won't do even like captains and stuff this week. We'll just save that for next week's pod. So.
I got a tease. I got to give a little tease there. But let's keep going to the next question.
Okay. Get our very own guest, Jason. Is it Big Sal time? Next two game weeks, home Huddy, home Burnley.
It's like we plan this beforehand, and we absolutely do not, but you're talking about my captain this week.
You're captaining Salomon Rondon.
1,000,000,000% I am captaining Sal. God. It's time for Sal. I mean, home Huddersfield, it's your time to go, boy.
I was saying this
on Slack. The last time I capped a Newcastle player was Cisse, like 3 years ago, and it was a similar like blank game week. Where I just didn't really have a good option, and I just fucking went for it, and he came in with like 13 or something. And I was just like, "Oh my god, Cisse!" And I'm feeling Sal this week, dude. I fucking love Sal so much, and he deserves it because he's been such a faithful
fucking staple.
He's just been such a faithful cog and servant to club team Adam Walsh, and I just love him. And I'm gonna just throw it on him. I think he's a fantastic pick. He's just so good. Watching him play is. He's just so good. He's a great player. I fucking love him. He has everything. He just has everything. His holdup is fucking dumb. He never turns the ball over, and he can fucking bully two guys off the ball. And he makes his passing even forward is just impressive. Like he has like little slide passes he does. Like he's got everything. He's always there in the air.
Sneaky genius move by Newcastle. I mean, like. Unfortunately for them, they couldn't keep Mitro. I think Mitro's a better player, and for whatever reason, him and Rafa fucking despise each other, so you have to go. But sneaky little move going with Rondon, who just got relegated and is old, and everyone had written off, and he's just great. He's been so good for them.
Yeah, he's just been a man. And, you know, with Almiron there, I mean, some type of creativity behind him.
Yeah, Almi looked good, yeah.
I mean, Huddersfield, you know, it's fucking Huddersfield. Like, come on. They were a little bit better against Arsenal. They only let up 2 somehow. I mean, Arsenal kind of stopped playing, but I'm fucking Sal. And he's 5'7". It's just, yeah, Sal's great. This run, Sal, get in there.
Cisse era was, oh my God.
Dude, that was a fun time. I was obsessed with Cisse. He was like, I love Newcastle. I don't know what's wrong with me. I loved Cisse so much.
I mean, they have had a lot of like, for as bad as they've kind of been for the last like 5 seasons or longer, like they've had so many like FPL darlings, I feel like.
Dude, Remy, you could fucking tell me not to put Remy in my team. Remy was in my team as much as possible. Like I always wanted Remy.
Forever. And fucking Ben Arfa.
Oh, hot damn. Original glove merchant.
Oh my God. Yeah, they've had so many darlings. Okay, enough on Newcastle.
Nothing like a guest Jason question to get my fucking blood flowing.
It's rare to see guests pop up in the questions for pod channel, but I'm glad he brought us there.
I assume he doesn't even listen to the pod.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Last question. Let's just do this one. John Astrion on Slack. I'm struggling, and this is kind of good to tie in with the beginning of the pod because you kind of talked about this, but he said, struggling which is better to free up space for my midfield to make way for Kuhn after the blank and maybe Kane soon, but I'd be sacrificing people like Son and Pogba. Or do I stay light up top, keep the big swinging Ds in the mid? I don't care about my formation. I'm just trying to figure out which of the big players are better to have.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously team specific, but I'm also having a similar problem. Like, I don't think that any one of my five midfielders is bad. Do I think Kun is like slightly better than like maybe Mane? Like, yes, yeah. But do I, you know, do I want to? I don't know if I want to go there. I have other things, so I don't have a good answer to this. I'm sorry. I just don't know.
I mean, this is probably like question of the season right now, because a lot of people are going to be struggling with how to structure their team after this blank with all of these big forwards coming back and Kun just staying hot and stuff. But is it possible that it comes down to captaincy and you kind of just have to look at it through that lens and just think like maybe there's a world where you go without Salah if there's really good captaincy shouts for like Kun or Kane or something like that and move forward there? Or is that just not the best way to, hardest fucking question.
Yeah. I mean, with captain, I think Kane is just out the window. I'm not looking at him as an option, like, until proven otherwise. But with Kun, like, captaining with Kun is a lot easier usually because it's just got to be a home fixture for one. You just don't captain on the road full stop. And then, you know, like, but with Mo, at United's a rough one. Then the only games they have that are difficult are home Spurs, home Chelsea. Those are not difficult games. I mean, he can brace both those games. So I just feel like I'm going to stick on Mo probably outside of this game week for the rest of the season, or, you know, with doubles
or
whatever. But
it's smart too. It's worth floating out there.
Yeah. No, it is, because, you know, if you can definitely, you know, go like Kun home West Ham, like, all right, or how is he not going to score in that game?
Right.
You know? But then at the same time, you look at Mo and he's home Watford, and it's also like, how is he not going to score
right,
that game?
Exactly.
So it's six of one, half a dozen the other. They're both fantastic. So I don't know how much captaincy plays, because it's just a coin flip, really.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The more that we see Aguero doing things like this, it does feel a little bit silly not to throw him in the team. So I have to see, like, you know, I've got, you know, Paul and Son, though. It's just, why would you take them out?
Yeah, I think taking either out is pretty much just idiotic. But yeah,
like for me, for my team, it would definitely be Mane, and he's just scored a goal every game also. So like, what am I doing there?
It definitely seems like, though, and it's been this way for a while, but going super light on defense just seems so obvious. There are so many good attackers and good premium guys to get that, like, it's just not worth having like anyone other than one Liverpool defender or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at how good my light defense did this week. I had a 2, a 2, a 1, and a 1.
Exactly.
Dreams are made out of that.
Yeah, exactly. Good job by everyone. All right. I don't think we're going to do captains or shit like that. The next game week is really far away, so we'll just skip that, and we'll come back and talk about the doubles and the blanks and all that shit after FA Cup. No new Patreon signups this week, so there's no asses to be slapped either. So we can basically just wrap it up, I guess. Do you have any last words before we get out of here?
No.
Check us out at fmlfpl.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfpl. Support us at patreon.com/fmlfpl. Subscribe, rate, review, and cheer.